Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's time for the Neverland Podcast, episode number 32.
Welcome to Neverland!
Take a start of the right and stay until morning. Neverland!
Good morning, Neverland!
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
And now, please welcome your host for the podcast. He's the pen.
I got pen sword. I'm the pen now!
Actually, I got his microphone.
He's grown up. You promised never to grow old.
Here age relives fond memories of the past. Yeah.
His nose got real big.
Well, welcome back to Neverland, Neverland.
And now, your host, Jeremy.
Welcome back to Neverland. We have a smorgasbord of different things to share today. My goodness. It's just an assortment. We've got everything from a review of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes to our usual Neverland news with Lost Boy Phil. Also, I've got some fun audio I'm going to share with you today. I took I can't really call it a trip, I suppose, because it's only about 10 minutes away from me, but a local theme park called Worlds of Fun, owned by Cedar Fair, who many of you might know are also the owners of Knott's Berry Farm out on the coasts. I went into their park to experience their new ride called Steelhawk for the year, which, you know, there's some funny stories about that and everything, which I'll talk about later. But lots of fun planned today, but I'll go ahead and get everything, you know, all the detailed things out of the way. Remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com and go and check out our sponsors. Right now I've got a sponsorship with Roku. You can go and you can buy this audio streaming device directly through their website, and it does help out the show to keep me going. And also my friend Deanna has her website. It's a Dido. She does a lot of graphic art, and she actually helped. If you look at the logo that you're going to see actually right there on your podcast player, she did the lettering for me. She's also capable of doing much more than that, but the artwork I had, you know, Lost Boy Phil actually did the drawing of me. I added the lightning to it and everything, but yes, she does some graphic art, so go and visit her site as well. Also, if you'd like to get a hold of me, I have some very fascinating and wonderful news, and that is the fact that we finally have a voicemail set up. Yes, our phone number here at Neverland is 816-226-6492. You can find that at neverlandpodcast.com. It's over on the top thing on the left, along with a link to email us. Our email address, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Drop me a line, leave a voicemail, send some email. You can also follow us on Twitter, @NeverlandPcast, sharing all kinds of fun things we have been doing, our daily Disney Marvel character on there, as well as sharing that same information on our Facebook page, which of course is facebook.com/neverlandpodcast. We love when you follow and interact with us, so feel free to do so. Share things you would love to see, or hear on the show, rather. Things from your childhood that you really loved, television, toys, movies, games, whatever. You know, we love talking about everything. This here in Neverland, this is our dreamland. This is where our dreams kind of come true in our own simple way. And we remember what it's like to be young at heart, and we just enjoy it. And so, now that we are all together and we are having our fun here at Neverland, I hope you brought your pixie with you, because we're going to need to borrow some pixie dust from that pixie. So get your happy thoughts, sprinkle some of that dust, share some of that dust with your neighbors, and bring them all together. Let's fly off here to Neverland with some Neverland news. All right, so now here we are with Lost Boy Phil, which must mean it's time for Neverland News again.
Woo-hoo!
Okay, now we got some fun stuff this week. There was a lot of stuff. Okay, so first off, Guardians of the Galaxy had a successful preview. They had that, like, a 17-minute preview at select IMAX screens. I looked for this, and there wasn't any openings. There wasn't any openings, so I don't know if they even screened it in Kansas City. I hope they did, but I you know, when I went to the website, it mentioned it. I didn't see anything, but boy, I tell you what, people were all over Twitter saying, "Guess where I am? Guardians of the Galaxy! Yay, we get to watch 17 minutes." The general consensus, everybody's been saying it's hilarious.
Well, it looks good, and I saw at some stores earlier, there's toys and things everywhere of them right now.
Oh, cool. And they're even on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. They have Chris Pratt on the cover, and they've got like a little baby raccoon sitting on his shoulder.
Oh, that sounds great. I think it's very very good that they're bringing kind of a low-string characters group to the big screen, because I'm hoping this will lead to a lot of other low characters into big movies.
Yeah, and eventually on the Facebook page, you'll be seeing some of them lower characters. Right now, I've been posting all the... Hopefully all of them have been watching, listening, or seeing this on our Facebook and Twitter stream. I've been sharing Marvel characters as they were from 1992.
Yeah.
But here's something that I just found out about today. Okay, so Guillermo del Toro, he took some time to answer some questions on Reddit. He just got on there and says, hey, ask me whatever you want and I'll answer it here. And it's kind of like, I've never really gotten on Reddit, but it's like this open forum when I was reading this. And of course, there was a Disney fan in there who had to ask about the Haunted Mansion movie he said he was going to do.
Yeah.
So I've got a pretty long quote from him.
It's been a long time we've been hearing about this.
Now, I can't really impersonate him. He's got an awesome accent. I forgot where he's from in South America, but he's got a great accent. He's fun
to
listen to.
I like him.
Lots of good creepy stuff he does, too. My goodness. So this is, anyways, but let me get to his quote because I can otherwise tell you just, yes, I'm excited about the idea. But anyways, he said, well, I spent 2 weeks ago, I went to Disneyland with the executives with whom I am developing the screenplay. It's a hard screenplay to crack. We've done it a few times. We are on our third or fourth draft with two different writing teams, and I think the main thing is to try to combine everything that is great about the ride into the movie and make it really intense, but with a sense of fun, just like the ride.
That's right.
It's a tough balance, and I would be happy to report if we had a screenplay. We always feel like we are very close, but not yet. We have developed 50 to 60 pieces of art. We've developed maquettes of the Hatbox Ghost over the body and face of Doug Jones. I have no idea who that is. But we have not succeeded yet in cracking the screenplay. I have to believe that Disney will make this movie as soon as we crack the screenplay, but until then, we cannot tackle it. It is a movie I would love to direct, but I would be happy to just produce it if the timing is not right. I, by the way, was named guest for the day for the Haunted Mansion the last time I did, which gave me unlimited access to ride the mansion several times during the day, lucky dude.
No doubt.
Unfortunately, it was just the moment my left knee decided to bust and I had to go back home with a busted knee. Poor guy. But it sounds like, you know, it's still, you know, it hasn't been thrown away. They're
good.
Still wanting to do it. But I guess it's going to take some time because they're just not happy with the screenplay.
Yeah, it's been at least 5 years.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, because I know my father knew about it. He's been gone for more than four. So he knew about it. He was looking forward to it.
To trying again because the other one is, it's kind of fun.
The other one?
the Eddie Murphy one. It's
well, it was
kind of fun.
I think they weren't balanced enough. They went so far on the silly.
Yeah, that it there's only a few parts that are really laugh out loud that was funny.
Yeah, but you know what
but
I mean.
It didn't quite grasp
it's
it very well.
It's not a horrible film.
It's not terrible, but it could have been so much better.
It's got a Man of Steel feeling about it.
It's like, oh, you're almost there, but
not
quite there.
Yeah.
So we're very excited about how he ever gets, but it's nice to know he's still doing something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but speaking of things we're going to have to wait for.
I wish we could see all that art that they're drawing.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to take a look at some of this stuff, because Guillermo's a pretty good artist himself, and he loves to design characters and things.
Pretty great.
So I'd love to see what he's done. Okay, but Amazing Spider-Man 3 has been delayed already, and now Roberto Orci is off the project. Okay, now he wrote the second one. And that's had some mixed reactions, though, the second one. So I still liked it, but it wasn't as good as the first one. But we had a nice mixed review even when we had it on the podcast. So, you know, it's been kind of not living up to expectations. So, really, I am not fussed about the guy who wrote that one being off the project for the third one.
A little too quirky, corny, and cheesy and all that.
He tried too hard.
Yeah, it was... the difference between the first one and that one were night and day as far as the tone. I think that was a big mistake, just for me. I didn't dislike it, But I was disappointed.
Yeah. And there's too much of trying to make sympathetic villains.
I've noticed that.
Elektra was an interesting character in there.
Yeah.
But if they'd have maybe just let him be evil, kind of like Maleficent, if they'd have let her be evil, then those are two movies that could have actually been better.
Yeah, I honestly, that kind of turns me off.
And yeah, it's like, I like a good evil villain. Scare me with that bad guy, you know?
You know, Khan, on the other hand, you can understand where he was coming from, thinking he was right. We're talking about the Star Trek.
Yeah, Into Darkness.
Yeah, but at the end, he still was evil.
Or you mean in Wrath of Khan? Because, yeah, you could see where he was coming from in Wrath of Khan, too, but he was still just nasty.
Yeah.
He's just vicious.
Arrogant, thinking he thinks he's a god.
Okay, now we have to... Here's some sad news. But Dave, I think his name, you pronounce it Legano. It's been a while since I've watched the special features on, I think, Half-Blood Prince. They had him on there.
Oh, yeah.
But Dave Legano, who played Fenrir Greyback in those last three Harry Potter movies. This is so sad. He was just found, had been dead for 3 days. He was out hiking around Death Valley, and he was found by a couple of hikers. You're not sure, you know, I haven't, you know, explored if they've decided if they're going to release, you know, did he get dehydrated? I mean, I would think he probably had enough water with him. He was 50. He should have been in good shape. He had been an MMA fighter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just shocking to just, you know, for him to turn up dead.
He's a tough-looking guy.
Yeah, and he was so nice, though, too. When I saw him on the special features, he played guitar, and he was singing songs with some of the other cast members on the Half-Blood Prince, and just seemed like he was a really cool guy, so it's very sad.
Yeah, that is sad.
He wasn't, like, a big-name actor, but, you know, it's still sad.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, well, all right, so if anyone is planning to hit Comic-Con this year, and what is it? I think it's like the last weekend in July. It's like the 25th, 26th, something like that. Well, I know July 26th, but Marvel has went ahead and released that they're planning to have Hall H July 26th from 5:30, or starting at 5:30 or 6:30, or specific time, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. I guess they've set it for an hour. 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. I know, I just sound like a professional, don't I? But from 5:30 to 6:30, where Marvel Studios president and producer Kevin Feige, with special guests, is going to provide an inside look at the ever-expanding Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, they've already talked about that they've planned out for the next, like, what, 5 years or more?
Yeah, or more, yeah.
So I wonder if they're going to lay out, like, everything and tell you all they're planning.
I can't help but imagine, like, you see on these TV shows or movies where... you go into an apartment or whatever of a psycho killer, and you see all these pictures connected to other pictures to other pictures. I can only imagine there's a room somewhere that has, you know, Iron Man connected to the Incredible Hulk movie, connected to the Avengers, connected to whatever. I can imagine there's movies that spread out everywhere. The S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Oh, I bet they do have it all mapped.
They probably do.
You know what would be interesting? It would almost seem risky now because they've managed to get so much popularity for Captain America and Iron Man and Thor and Hulk and everything. It might almost be a risk, but I wonder if after, like, Avengers 3, because they've planned at least three, you know, they could always be bringing new characters to light in new movies and get people excited about new characters. There's a lot of the other characters that have been part of the Avengers, so maybe by Avengers 4, you have a whole new team.
Well, it wouldn't be that, you know, there's a, in the comic books, I used to read Avengers a lot,
uh-huh.
And one thing I always liked was every 3 to 4 to 5 years, because back then you'd get writers and artists to stay with you longer.
Yeah.
They would change, and they would even open up, like, the Avengers West Coast.
Yeah.
Where on the East Coast you had Iron Man, on West Coast you had War Machine. But the truth is where they could always keep a couple of them. They almost always had Captain America and Iron Man involved. Or who's the other one? Thor. They'd have them usually involved. But, yeah, they would change in and out, and it made it more fresh and interesting.
Yeah, so I'm hoping maybe they can, you know, just keep this going and not lose steam.
Yeah,
so
that'd
I figure
be nice.
New characters, brand new team of Avengers. I mean, heck, they're introducing Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
There can be Avengers.
And we now know, of course, on Netflix, they're going to have several TV shows. You can always later on bring in Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Yes.
Whoever.
Yes, it'd be awesome to have them as... I don't know if Daredevil's ever been an Avenger. I don't think he has.
I don't know that he has.
They could sneak him in, though, maybe.
Yeah.
He'd be kind of cool.
But if nothing else, I'd like to see a movie with the Iron Fist and the Luke Cage together as Heroes for Hire.
Oh, yeah. That would be awesome. Okay, I lost my place. Oh, now this is cool. All right, Stitch has been officially announced for Disney Infinity 2. Not really a big surprise. They'd already teased him in some of the trailers and showed him, but they've I haven't gotten to see a picture of the figure, but it was funny. On their Twitter page and stuff, they were saying, someone fuzzy is coming to our Ohana and stuff like that. So I'm like, yay, it's Stitch. But also, I saw a brief thing that after Guardians of the Galaxy, now I would love to see a playset of this, but they have announced Star-Lord and Gamora.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Gamora, I think, is she the assassin?
Yeah, she's green. She's, I believe, the actress from Star Trek. She was in.
Yeah, I think she was Uhura.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, well, if you can't just do Guardians of the Galaxy and just have those two. So what if they do a whole set of everybody and maybe an entire play set?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, you could probably put Rocket and Groot together because Rocket's a little guy and Groot, you know, they're kind of a combo. So you have at least four characters because you throw in the other dude, Drax, I believe. I'm going to have to get more familiar. Yeah, Batista. You throw them all in there. I mean, that sounds fun to me.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to buy the thing regardless, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know you will.
Oh, of course I will.
Got to get them all.
I will spend my entire, you know, all my money on this set because it's just too much fun to have them all.
They're Pokemoning you.
They are. They're Pokemoning. They've poked my mon all over the place. That sounds awful. Okay. PG. Okay. All right. Now, this was interesting. I don't know if you got a chance to see this yet, but Batgirl's got a new costume, and they're going to debut it in October.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
And it's a lot more practical looking. It's kind of like a leather vest type of thing, and it looks like DC is starting to go with the trend of no spandex, is like with the new 52.
Yeah.
They're trying to texture things a little bit, which is okay.
Some is a little too much, but is all right.
Well, and I've seen some people that are really happy, but what they seem to be happy about is they're not looking as I'm calling it, a female character who doesn't look like a teenage fantasy.
Yeah.
And getting rid of the spandex. And so they're like, oh, look, they're having female characters that look more like a female role model or whatever. And I was like, well, that's all fine and good, but you know, the men are still in skin tight outfits and running around with hulking muscles and look ridiculous and nowhere that a guy like me is ever going to live up to. So let's balance things. If that's your argument for doing it, then balance your argument. But to me, I just think it looks cool. And I think with the new 52, I don't know, you haven't been paying attention really either.
No.
But I think Barbara Gordon is supposed to be back.
Yeah, she is. They changed a lot. I'm not a big fan of the new 52. I love DC, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they've kind of lost me. And they just kind of too many changes, I guess. You know, I'm an old school guy. I'll admit it. I like a lot of the art they've done for it. But, you know.
Yeah. And at least Batman has stayed almost kind of consistent.
Yeah, there's a few changes I haven't liked. Superman's pretty much... Honestly, I don't see much of a difference between Superman now on the new 52, Superman and Superboy. I mean, they're maybe a couple years
They
difference.
Seem to have taken 20 years off his age or something.
Yeah, they say like probably somewhere around 23, or where he used to, he was always 32.
Yeah.
And there is a big difference in that age.
There's a big difference.
If you're young and you think there isn't, that just shows you're young, you don't know yet.
Yeah, you haven't seen it yet. Oh, something else. This is cool. I have I've already talked about this on the show before, but I saw the first trailer for the Ghostbusters 30th anniversary re-release coming around Labor Day.
Cool.
Fantastic. And this, of course, is just going up with the Blu-ray of both movies coming out, which I got to get.
Oh, I know
of
you
course,
do.
Of course, I already have the DVDs, but you know, it's a Blu-ray set. It's going to have more special features. Maybe it'll even have Dan Aykroyd telling all that. He actually believes this stuff.
Oh, I know he does.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a good guy. He's just a little off his nut. But that's okay. The Easter egg.
But it just shows that he is thinking about it, because the more I've actually played the video game, because I still play that one they released like in 2009.
I want to get a copy. I do.
I'll have to get you one for your birthday.
Hey, that'd be great. Thank you.
Especially, I don't think they have the online play going on anymore. It'd be fun if we could still play online if I got a PS3 version of it. But anyway, I digress. But when you get into like the details from playing the game, you kind of get the idea, because the theory of paranormal and ghosts and everything is that they're made out of like electricity, which would be like electrons. And so the idea that that's a proton pack and they're showing like a protonic stream makes sense, because the protons would attract electrons, and therefore if it's there electric, you would be able to catch it.
Yeah.
So it actually starts to make sense when you start to get into what these people think and how they
I'm still tempted to go out and buy all the old cartoons that they have on DVD. I like
Real Ghostbusters.
I'd love to have it.
But it's interesting the way it's like, you know, it is. I can appreciate the way it's well thought out, for as goofy and as much fun and fantasy as it is. It is at least well thought out.
Well, it's just like with Star Trek. You know, it's all fantasy, but they do have certain scientific facts in it. Kind of like Hulk, Incredible Hulk, you know, with gamma rays. Gamma rays are real, but of course, It wouldn't turn
wouldn't
out
turn the, you green.
No, like it wouldn't turn you green, and it wouldn't make you a great big hulking hero. It,
boy, I wish it would, though. That'd be the easy way to become a superhero, wouldn't
if
it?
If you had a radioactive spider bite, you would die.
Yeah.
But it would be great to think.
Actually, the radiation would have killed the spider, and it would not have had a chance to bite you. And even if it did, the radiation is not going to pass because you were bit by it.
Yeah, but that's okay. These are comic books. This is the only thing I have to say about people who want comic books to become more and more serious. You have to remember, these are fantasies.
Yes, they're fantasy.
You can't get too realistic. It's
right. Don't bring the realism in. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhere in between Batman and Robin and some of the newer films.
Yeah. All right. So July 23rd, by the way, there's going to be a free Batman comic released. Just check with your local comic book store, see if they're participating. I didn't really dig into too many bits on this and everything. There was a writer mentioned, and I forgot his name. But hey, I just want to let everybody know, July 23rd, free Batman comic. It'll be actually Detective Comics.
Yeah.
But it's free, so go check it out. Oh, okay, I think I showed you this website one, but homestarrunner.com has not been updated for about 2-3 years or something like that. They did all these great little cartoons, flash animation. Were very famous for what was known as Strong Bad Email.
Strong Bad, yeah.
They're coming back. They're going to finally update that website. And so I don't know if that just means a focus on Strong Bad Emails, but I guess this has been stemming around, like they had an April Fool's kind of joke that they put up that was actually something new, which I found on YouTube. I couldn't find it on the website, but it was kind of an indicator that they are coming back. All right, now here's something that's going to be right up your alley, being a DC fan.
Yeah.
Ronnie Raymond, known to the DC universe as Firestorm, will be in the upcoming Flash series.
Cool.
He's going to be played by a fellow by the name of Robbie Amell, or Amell. I'm not sure how you say his name.
I know that's the newer, one, and I always liked that character, but they changed him a few years back, and I like the original just because I'm old school, but I like him, too. I like the new
cool.
one, too.
Yeah. Didn't one of the Firestorms get killed
a few years ago?
That was the original. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they've now got a new guy. Now, you would think on a TV series they'd maybe start with the original.
Probably, you would think so, but because in the newer one is an African American, they're probably going to go with him just because, you know, there's not, unfortunately, a lot of these comic book characters.
The picture they showed of this, the Robbie Amell, he's a white guy, though, so.
Oh, that might be the original. I can't remember his original name.
Ronnie Raymond. I wouldn't know.
But
I recognized the character when I saw the drawing of Firestorm.
It's been
so
long, I don't remember the name of of him or the guy who took his place. But I can understand if they would have made him the black one, I can understand. Yeah. Because, you know, unfortunately, the old comic book characters weren't a whole lot of African-American characters or Hispanic or anything.
Yeah. Oh, hey, this was kind of cool. Although, the buzz for it, I think, was bigger than the actual event.
Yeah.
But, okay, so everyone was buzzing this week about a short Rita Skeeter article that appeared on Pottermore.com, which, of course, was written by Rita Skeeter's creator, J.K. Rowling. Mm-hmm. And it was really short. It was just like a newspaper article. But it did feature some, like, well-known characters from, like, they were referred to as old Dumbledore's Army people showing up at the Quidditch World Cup. Pretty much, I guess she's kind of tying in, like, the Quidditch World Cup and, like, the football or soccer, whatever you want to call it, World Cup going on right now, so that's a fun tie-in. But also, she's actually got a group she's big on, because I guess in Britain, their press is just pretty much a tabloid.
Yeah.
And all they do is, apparently, is just trash on people a lot, and it's really awful. I've heard complaints like this before, but she was kind of making a poke at them.
Yeah.
I guess she was really kind of mad. Even on her Twitter feeds, there was a thing where she was really upset with some stuff and asking people to join the cause and everything. So, you know, it seems like she was kind of tying it all together. It was an interesting thing. It was fun to see something new kind of pop up.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, every article, everywhere that was popping up on sharing on Facebook was like, she's written a new short story and whatever, and making it sound like this was something about to go publish. But, no, it was a short article. You could read it in about 2 minutes. And it was only exclusively on Pottermore, the website, which you had to be a member of, which I am. So I did get to read it, and it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of Harry Potter, okay, so July 8th was, what, Tuesday? But, okay, Diagon Alley opened July 8th.
Yeah.
And as expected, it was massive. There was tons of people. I kept seeing pictures all day where people were just lined up, having to wait like 6 or 7 hours just to get into an area. And I figure after that, if you even wanted to ride the ride in there of the Escape from Gringotts, that's going to be another probably 4 hours. So it was a huge mess, and I'm kind of glad they're successful, but at the same time, I could see the logic in over at Walt Disney World, that's doing Frozen, and they're doing this thing called the Frozen Summer, which they just kind of put together over the last couple of months because they knew they needed to compete.
Such a big hit, it makes sense they would do Frozen.
Yeah, because they're competing with across the street with Harry Potter. Now, of course, Frozen doesn't compare with Harry Potter as far as cultural significance at this point. But, you know, if I was to choose, and if I lived there, I would not want to go to Harry Potter on the day they opened something new. I would probably have gone to Walt Disney World because you could have actually done the activities. They have like an ice rink they managed to set up so you can go ice skating. And they have a special fireworks and a sing-along for all the songs. So really, you would get more for your money have you gone to Walt Disney World and done their Frozen activities.
Well, I tell you what, I got to go to the Universal. I'm a big feller, so I couldn't really go on the Harry Potter ride itself. I did enjoy looking at all the stuff they had, but you know, I'd have to lose a lot of weight. And to be honest with you, it's not all weight. Some of it is, but some of it is also that I would have been too tall. And I thought, you know, there's more than just me in this world that's big and tall all at the same time. But I will say I had fun at all the parks. I got to go to all the parks, Universal and Disney. The great thing is, for Disney's sake, you know, the Island of Adventure that has the Harry Potter stuff also has Marvel stuff. So
yeah.
Disney makes money off of Universal having...
He's like, oh, look, you're licensing our characters.
That's right. It's kind of fun.
But it would be more fun if the Disney got to make some Marvel stuff over in Florida. Of course, they're working on some stuff in Disneyland. And, you know, Tokyo, I believe, is getting that Iron Man ride, which... Come on! Tokyo, I'm sure, loves them, but we love them here, too.
I wish Six Flags would step it up instead of being a World of Fun or a low... you know, money park. It'd be more a big money park, like
because they got that DC licensing. Because
they got DC, and I would love to see more than just a roller coaster with Batman's name on it. I like to see a really
good
animatronic.
You didn't get to see that. There's a Scooby-Doo ride that was really fun. It was a shooting gallery ride, and it featured the original classic Scooby-Doo. Where are you?
There you go.
And so you had all the villains and everything, like the Sherbert ghost and everything.
All great.
All the evil clown guy and all of that stuff. The weird guy, like the diving guy. You know,
that sounds fun.
All of them. It was a shooting gallery with all of those through the swamp. It was a lot of fun. Nothing animatronic.
Yeah.
Lots of fun over in St. Louis. I'd love to find some YouTube video. Maybe somebody has filmed their ride on it so I could show people. Because that was the most fun. It took forever to wait in line for that because it was the best ride in the park last time we were there. Okay. Oh, here's something interesting. Ant-Man is moving along, but you know, they got two new riders, Gabriel Ferrari and Andrew Bear. There's a lot of shufflings kind of going on because it seems like, they had just had, I forgot the guy's name, Edgar Wright?
I don't remember the name.
He had written up some stuff, was set to direct, and then they had creative differences with him, got rid of him, brought in some other people to kind of start rewriting the script and maybe a different director. Now apparently the writers have been swapped. There's so much shuffling going on, I'm starting to worry that this is going to come out bad.
It might, but we'll see.
We'll see. But, of course, sometimes a lot of shuffling around means you're making sure you got the right people.
Yeah.
Although I have heard some other podcasts saying that they don't really like the work. These two guys have some previous work, small kind of things that were kind of, I think one of these guys, somebody had said he'd worked on Bring It On, or am I thinking of that? No, I'm thinking of somebody who's working on the new Star Wars stuff, did some Bring It On stuff maybe. I don't know. Somebody fact-check me for that. But yeah, I've heard a lot of different stuff, but there's people who are more excited about having Edgar Wright on there than having these two. But you know what? I will go see it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'll do a good job. Disney won't let this get released if it's crap.
Paul Rudd.
Well, then again, they have released Maleficent, and that was crap. I know some people loved that movie. I didn't. I feel free. It's my show. I can say I didn't like it. So I am not alone, and you are not alone, and you're loving it if you loved it. So it's fair. Anyway... Oh, here's something. Brandon Routh has been cast to play the Atom on Arrow.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that the other day that they said that'll be great. He was the one that, for those who don't know, he played Superman on Superman Returns. I personally did not dislike the movie. It wasn't great. Superman Returns wasn't great. I didn't necessarily think he was the greatest cast Superman. But I liked that it still had a Superman feeling about it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like all the stupid things they did with the Super Baby and all that. But... That being said, he's a good actor. He's been on a lot of things like Chuck.
Yeah, he was great on Chuck. Yeah, he was scary, man.
I don't know if you ever saw Scott Pilgrim, but he was hilarious in that.
Wasn't he like the vegan warrior guy?
Yeah, he was great. He's a good actor.
Yeah.
And I think he'll be really good in that role.
Yeah.
He'll do.
Yeah, and I don't know how far they're going to take it, though, with the if he's just going to be appearing as himself and not actually use any of his powers of shrinking himself or
anything.
Well, I think
they should. I mean, they should have the Atom. I mean, if you're going
to
have Ant-Man
get to jump on Ant-Man.
Yeah,
exactly.
You don't have the Atom.
Oh, really? Ant-Man, your guy shrinks. Well, guess what? I'm the Atom. I go to the size of an Atom. Ha-ha!
The Atom's a cool character. I love the stuff he can do, you know.
I don't know a whole lot about him, but...
Yeah, he's cool.
All right. Oh, here's something. Okay, I've heard a couple of different things, but Danger Mouse is coming back to
TV.
Which, yeah, is exciting, but apparently they're going to do some gender swapping on some characters.
Aw.
I don't know what they're doing. You know, this, you can get away with it, because I guess Battlestar Galactica was very successful. Although, that to me was weird, because Starbuck was this womanizing kind of guy, and then you switched it in for a woman. It's like, now you might have lost the essence of the character a little bit. So I don't know who was swapping. I didn't look at the article. I was just kind of breezing through some things. We're almost done. After an open casting call, okay, Crystal Clark, which I guess she's done some other things. She's an American, some small bits. And a guy named Pip Anderson, who's like a parkour expert of some sort. They've been added.
Park what?
Parkour. That's it's sometimes called free running.
Oh, okay.
Like if you like the chase scene there in Casino Royale, the guy who was able to just hop over and climb walls and
stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's parkour. And this guy, apparently, he's been in some sort of a commercial, kind of like a play on Spider-Man, where he was doing his thing.
Oh, that's cool.
But Pip Anderson, so now they're kind of very late on casting, so I don't expect them to have big parts.
Uh-huh.
But being his parkour abilities, I'm pretty sure that's how he's got this part, so I'm expecting some major action thing. He could be like a Sith, maybe, or something.
He's going to be the Star Wars film?
Yes, this is for Star Wars 7.
Oh,
did I mention that?
No.
Star Wars 7. Yes. I was trying to go through and tell you who these people were.
Yeah.
Everything that I've managed to learn about them. There's not a whole lot to be known, because they're kind of relatively unknowns, but Star Wars has always been more successful with some unknowns.
Yeah.
And maybe get one or two well-knowns.
Yeah, well-knowns.
Yeah, so good idea. Seems like a good plan.
Sure does.
So, yeah, it's nice to know that they're still going, and they're pretty much on schedule, despite Harrison's injury.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing pretty well. I've seen some pictures where he's got this prosthetic thing he's wearing kind of from his knee, so he can kind of hobble around.
Yeah.
So he's still getting around, and I don't know if they're managing to film anything with him, but I have heard something about perhaps they've got some special time set maybe with him later, perhaps, to kind of get all of his stuff in. I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be similar to now. You probably know this story better than I, but if you watch Rocky II, during the boxing match at the end, Adrian is not there at the arena, and I've heard the reason why is for some reason she wasn't able to be there for the shoot, so they filmed her reactions at home.
Yeah,
to be at home in order to kind of fit it in, so she's watching it on TV, and they found a reason.
It was supposed to be. The reason was she had trouble with the birth of their son in the movie.
Yeah.
And that's why they did that, was because she wasn't able to be there for the filming of it. So they had to where she was still wasn't feeling very well and had to stay home. The doctors told her to stay home and be with the son. The cool thing is the little baby boy that they used in that movie really was the son of Sylvester Stallone. He unfortunately died within the last year.
But
that was his son at the time.
Yeah, but so that's some wide character, what they gave for the excuse, but wasn't there some reason why she in real life
couldn't
remember
what it was. I can't recall. I do know that around that time, she was involved with the filming of Godfather 2, and that may have had something to do with it.
That may have done it. Okay. I knew that. I've heard something about that, and I figured if you've seen special features. But yeah, so they can get around with Harrison, maybe come back to pick up where he left off when he comes back, and hopefully nobody will hit him with a door this time. So that's our news for this week, and now we'll move on to whatever I've got next, because, boy, I've got a lot of stuff for the show. All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Moving right along, next I have for you a review of the new movie Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. In fact, though, I actually just saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes just previously this week, so I've watched two really good movies actually this week, but here's the trailer.
Don't mean any harm! a virus created by scientists in a lab. You can't blame the apes.
Who the hell else am I gonna blame?
We need to give him a chance.
Welcome to animals. Please. I've seen things. I've seen the way they are. They want what we want, to survive.
Caesar, home. This is your home. Your home.
Are you aware they are going to turn on you?
They don't want a war.
No! Don't shoot!
Caesar, you have to go.
Go. Strong.
War, it's not what you want. There must be another way.
War has already begun.
Okay, I have just returned home from the theater from seeing the new film Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I actually just this week saw Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and it is the first in the series that I actually have ever watched. Now, these are, I guess they're planning at least a trilogy here. These are prequel films, so if you've never seen any of the previous Planet of the Apes films, you are going to be fine if you decide to watch these, and I do recommend you watch both of these. You're definitely going to need to watch Rise of the Planet of the Apes before you come into this one, although you could almost step into this one with the knowledge that they give you at the beginning of the film to kind of get you up to speed on what has occurred in the last 10 years of the story since the events of the first film. But the events of the first film will definitely help you and get you familiar with some of the characters, because you'd spend a lot of time with the apes, and they spend a lot of time signing to each other that with sign language and communicating, and so we get subtitles a lot. And there are a few new apes to be introduced to. Caesar, the kind of the main character really from the first film, is still, of course, around, still a main character. He's taken a wife and has a son named Blue Eyes. So we get to spend a lot of time with them, kind of learning how they've now been surviving over the last 10 years, where what has been known as the simian, I guess they called it a flu, if I remember correctly, a simian flu, which decimated the humans, except for some humans that had the right genetic disposition to actually have survived it. So there is at least one pocket of humans that we spend time with during the course of this, living around San Francisco. The apes thought maybe all the humans were gone. There's a kind of a dialogue there with Caesar and everything, and Caesar had figured, well, you know, we haven't seen any for about 2 years now, or 2 winters, as they call it. They don't have the concept of years. They have their own way of keeping track of things. They've developed their own kind of civilization in this village, which is really kind of cool. But basically the story kind of begins when they come across some humans who have come up onto their mountain or hill, or I think it's supposed to have been like a mountain. I think there are some mountains kind of through California, so I'm figuring that's what it would be. But some humans come up there, and so now you have some tensions of, there's a lot of distrust between the apes and the humans. For one, humans are used to apes being, you know, just animals, and they can be aggressive, you know, and we know that apes are, you know, kind of stronger than us, and so they don't know how to react, especially when they suddenly say, oh my goodness, these apes have spears, and they're really thrown off when an ape talks. Now, this is interesting how they've slowly shown the development of the apes. In the first film, there's only really one word mainly uttered by Caesar. He says no. In this film, of course, they've got a bit more language, but it takes them time to form each word, so they speak kind of slowly and one word at a time. But most of the time they'll sign to each other, but occasionally they will speak a word, and they kind of mix it together. So it's very interesting. It's like you're seeing the development of them trying to figure out English. We also at one point see Maurice, the orangutan, who is actually teaching English letters to the young of the their tribe there. So it's very interesting watching the development of that. But now we have this tension. So let me introduce a few humans to you. Jason Clark plays Malcolm, who's kind of our lead human. Gary Oldman plays Dreyfus, who is kind of an important human. He doesn't have a whole lot of screen time, but he is very important. He's kind of... if this is a town, he's kind of the governor or the mayor of this town of refugees kind of around San Francisco. There's quite a few of them. His main objective is really just to protect the humans. They want to, of course, survive, as Caesar, of course, was just trying to protect his family, as he calls them, of apes. But the problem kind of comes from the fact that the humans are running out of fuel for their power sources, for their lights and electricity, and there is a hydroelectric plant and a dam over around near the mountain there. And so the reason why the humans were there, of course, is because they would like to go and repair that dam and hook up to it and bring power back into the city of San Francisco. So basically the questions are, of course, can the humans and the apes learn to get along or learn to trust each other when there's a lot of deep-seated hate with, you know, Koba, who was in the first film. Koba has a hatred of humans, and they do develop a little bit more than what the first film did of showing how he's got his hatred. He spent a lot of time as a lab chimp, caged up, and was, you know, kind of abused. So he's got a huge, not just distrust, but a hatred. And so this film really explores what hatred and fear can do to get in the way of potentially being able to cooperate and form friendships and have a peace. I really don't want to spoil anything, so I'm not going to get into too many details. But let me just say, this will keep you glued. I think my jaw was kind of clenched the whole time because there's a lot of dramatic things kind of happen, and it all does boil down, of course, to a battle between the apes and the humans. I will not say what triggers that. It is basically Koba making his move. You kind of know it's coming. You know Koba eventually is going to start things. And it does kind of propel things to where it looks like there's going to be potentially a third film. Because although Caesar and Malcolm have developed a friendship, you know, between a human and an ape, and it seemed like they have that one chance, it doesn't seem like that's going to quite work with everybody else with this battle that's going. So it looks like there's going to be potentially a third film, which I would, of course, very eagerly see at this point, because we do know at least from the other films that I have not watched, but I'm going to watch the first one. You know, it seems the apes will eventually establish a dominance of the Earth, and humans will kind of be enslaved in some fashion. And so apparently that's still coming. I thought maybe we were actually setting that up in this film, because it does get interesting. But I don't want to say too much more. Like I said, I don't want to spoil anything, but I do recommend go out and see this movie. And if you didn't see Rise, go see it. Go rent it. It was on FX this week, and I DVR'd it so I get a chance to watch it. But yeah, definitely watch that one first. I mean, these are well written. They're really getting so much more advanced with what they can do with computers and motion capture. Andy Serkis, known very well for being Gollum, is Caesar. And there are some times Caesar kind of makes face that does remind me of some of the expressions that Gollum would have. But the facial expressions they're able to capture and put on these apes really kind of, you know, make you care about them as characters. And kind of go through you kind of know what's going through their mind and everything. And it's a very, very well told story, very good story, well directed, well acted, very well done. Just go. Just this is going to be a big summer movie. This is probably going to be the big hit of this weekend. By the time you've heard this, you probably will have heard that it was the big hit, and for very, very good reason.
Thank you.
Okay, something new at Worlds of Fun today. Actually, a group called Grease Monkeys. What you just heard, they were playing on a large barrel, buckets, hubcaps, and a muffler. Each three guys. So hopefully that picked up well and you enjoyed that. Okay, listeners, we're about to get onto the new ride here at Worlds of Fun called Skyhawk. It took them forever to open this thing. They actually just opened it right in time for Independence Day celebrations. I've been given the number of 32 for where I'm going to be seating myself. Now, they do have places to place your items. This thing's going to lift me, I don't know how many stories into the air while spinning. I will try to get some audio of the ride before I give my review, but if you don't hear any more audio, I'll just explain that it seems they're playing film music on the ride that's associated with flying. I've heard them play Superman. I've heard them play music from E.T. So it seems that that's kind of the gimmick that they're going to send you into half orbit because it's pretty tall. But I will talk to you again either during the ride or after the ride.
Go away with Mauricio.
Welcome to Steelhawk. Please carefully take your seat as the swings may move while entering. If you are carrying any loose articles or have loose fitting shoes, please
I'm taking off my shoes just because they're loose. 30, 31, 32.
Worlds of Fun is not responsible for lost or damaged items. Photography and cell phone use of any kind is prohibited while riding. Please take a seat and hold down on your lap bar and fasten the seatbelt. Your ride will begin momentarily. Thank you.
All right, I'm going to keep this thing in a death grip. I'm trying to ride this. I took my shoes off to make sure I didn't lose my shoes. If this goes right, I will not drop the recorder in the middle of this ride.
Journey to a height of 301 feet. Please sit upright, facing forward with your back and shoulders against the seat back, and hold on to the handlebar while riding. Please keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times and do not extend your legs forward. Thank you, and enjoy your panoramic view on Steelhawk.
Okay, I think I'm going to put this thing away. I don't know, I'm afraid I'm going to drop it from 301 feet in the air. Okay, I'm going to play the afterword of riding this ride real quick, but a quick note. I accidentally, while I was there, called it Skyhawk. The actual name of the ride is Steelhawk. Okay, so now I've just gotten off the ride, and I must say it's both exhilarating and kind of frightening at the same time to go up 300 feet in the air and then spin around. You didn't get to hear the audio of me on the ride because I decided I wanted to put a death grip on that safety hand because I have a problem with heights. But as we went up, it actually switched over playing music from Harry Potter, which makes sense because of Bloom for Flying. But
This is here located World of Fun here in Kansas City. So if you live anywhere near me, or if you're planning to travel this way over the summer, I definitely recommend this thing. If you're kind of terrified of heights, lean back nicely in your seat. I think you'll be okay. I was expecting maybe a shoulder harness. It only has a pretty good strong lap bar that comes down and seat bolts in, but it held me pretty tight. And it kind of goes straight up before it starts spinning. And you do get a wonderful view of the entire park and even some of the surrounding area as you go up. But I definitely recommend this ride, Neverlanders, so come and check it out. All right, I'm about to walk late into a show here. It's called The British Invasion, so I have expectations of what they're going to be singing. I got to hustle to get into the theater here. This started actually about 3 minutes ago. So...
No!
Well, that should about wrap it up for us this week. We'll run a little bit long this week, but hopefully you did enjoy that show. Myself, I really preferred it when they were playing some of the old classic British invasion type songs like the Beatles and things like that. Seems in the more modern stuff, you got stuff like One Direction, and I'm just not a fan of that. So if you are, then I hope you enjoyed that. If you're not a fan of One Direction, you probably at the end were like, oh, well, I guess this counts. But anyways, I would like to go ahead and say now that Neverland Podcast is a production of Glue Band Productions, and of course, all the audio that I record originally is, of course, copyright to Glue Band Productions, and anything that is not licensed to me is copyright of those particular artists. And God bless. Remember also to take your pixie with you in your pocket, so anytime you need to, you can pull her out, sprinkle some pixie dust around, and spread a little bit of a good attitude around and a positive attitude, so you can all kind of fly off to Neverland whenever you need to, and it'll help you deal with the issues of daily life. But until we see you next week, which Jesse should hopefully be here next week to tell us all about TikiCon that's going on this weekend right now, and coming up very fast is the Friends of the Magic Meet in Disneyland, which is going on like August 8th through the 10th, if I'm remembering correctly, and Jesse will be there attending it in the name of the Neverland Podcast. He will be at the Columbia, which is a ship and a ride, and he's going to tell you some information about the ship and things like that. I'm not sure what all he's gathered together yet, but you can find his website on ours. It's Quest for Vault Disney, and I believe it's .wordpress.com. I'm not familiar with how WordPress extra sites go, but to make it easy for you, we've got a link for you on neverlandpodcast.com. There's a picture of a big kind of vault right there, and you can go and read all of his blog articles. He's a very good researcher, and so I know you're going to love meeting with him at the meet at the Columbia, and he is going to have a prize available. And he's going to come up with some questions. I don't know if I'm going to be helping him with questions or not. We're still working out all the details, and I don't know exactly what time the meet will be. But if you follow up with Paul Berry at Window to the Magic, he will be announcing that type of thing very soon, I'm sure. But until next week, it's been fun having you, and please come back next week and bring friends. Bring your enemies. You know, we love everybody here at Neverland. Bye now.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.